Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's therapy time here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday. Who or what is on your list? It's time to get it off your chest. You've had probably something or someone on your mind this week. Somebody who's made you mad. We've got a pair of tickets to see Lady Antebellum with special guests Jake Owen and Maddie and Tay at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, September 12th. Saturday, September 12th, Bridgestone Arena. Lady Antebellum tickets, special guests Jake Owen and Maddie and Tay. But you're going to have to get involved in
the
show. 715-737-1025. 737-1025. You're going to have to get involved and tell us who or what is on your list to have a chance to win these tickets. So, guys, with that being said,
I'm going to ask a question before we move forward. Because of the circumstances, are we allowing the text line for this, or do you still need to call?
No, I think we need to call.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify with the commissioner.
Well, I mean, I don't know what would change. We've always been doing it by calling.
We've had an uptick on the text line as of late, and I don't know.
Well, look, you shouldn't be driving.
Yeah.
Much these days, it should be pretty easy to call in,
right?
I would think.
Kathleen wanted to say it will lighten up when the fans split their anger between the Astros and the Red Sox.
It will lighten up when. Wait, say that again.
It will lighten up when fans split their anger between the Astros and the Red Sox. That's coming from an Astros fan, but I don't know. I think people are going to be mad at the Red Sox too because of Alex Cora, but start with the Astros.
Yeah. We still haven't had the final investigation findings, right? On the Red Sox.
Yep.
I wonder where all that is.
Which is weird. That it's like, why don't we have a ruling on that? Why isn't, okay? So you've Rob Manfred has said they've finished up with that, right? Did he not just do an interview on Scott Van Pelt in the last week and say that they're done with that, but yet they're not ready to rule just yet? Like, I guess they're done with all their findings and whatever they needed to do behind the scenes?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But who wants to go first?
Doesn't matter. I mean, I'm ready.
All right, lead us off.
All right. We know in these uncertain times and just, look, everything is new. We're not used to some of you, have done to, we've done to go, but now know that you can't go in a restaurant and sit down and enjoy a meal if you're going to have it. You're going to have to either have it delivered, or a lot of people are doing to-go service. And I've said on the show, one, as a family, we like to eat out a lot. I'd say we are above what the normal number is. We're above. We're not crazy, extreme, but we do enjoy going out to eat. And so, to kind of help with all this, and, that's the beauty is there's been a lot of people helping. Our country's going to help small businesses, which is fantastic, and help a lot of people through these tough times. You want to help if you can and try to keep ordering from restaurants. If they're keeping the doors open, they need your help. And so we've tried to do that periodically and sparingly through all of this, and we'll continue to do that. But I've got to be honest, and I've decided I'm not going to name them by name. We really like this place. We do. But I was really, really disappointed this week because we ordered from them. You do it online. They give you a time. You know, I got there at, I got there 10 minutes early. I don't even count this. You know, I'm not counting the 10 minutes early that I got there. But the 6:18 was the time that, you know, they estimated that the food will be at your car. And I had already, you know, checked in, told them, you know, what kind of color my car is, what it is. You know, you can do that just to help them out. And they've got numbered stalls there, you know, for the to-go orders. They've kind of done this to help them out and help their people that are delivering things out to the car. You know, you check in basically when you get there to say, hey, I'm here. I'm in to-go stall 3. And, you know, this is the color of my car. This is what it is, the make and model. And, you know, we'll be ready. Say it's going to be 6:18, the estimated time. Okay? You know, look, I don't expect anybody to be knocking on the window at 6:18. I get it. But, guys, especially when you're at, you know, you want people to frequent your place and do business with you. That's because that's why you've got your doors open. And I noticed that a lot of people were. I get it. But you can't wait 25 minutes past the time. Like, come on. Like, you can't do that. I was so 6:43 is when they got to my car from 6:18. I was getting ready to leave. I had already called twice, like, hey, what's going on? I mean, did you guys forget the order? I mean, no big deal. Just tell me. And they're like, oh, you know, when I had called 10 minutes prior to 6:43, so 6:33, they said, oh, yeah, it's coming out. It's coming out right now. I'm like, okay, so that's 15 minutes late, right? They said, it's coming out right now. Well, I was getting ready to leave. I mean, I was getting ready to leave. Put it in reverse when they came to the door. So, look, I get it. You probably, you know, you're trying to figure this out, too. This is all different. But for restaurants out there that you're encouraging people are giving you their business, like, you can't be 25 minutes past the time on a to-go order. So I'm not going to name names, but for that restaurant that we like and we love, unfortunately.
You just made the list.
You're on the list. Do you guys agree or?
No, I agree. Well, completely.
Well, I think the only thing I would say is I would say that there's a bunch of restaurants that want to do this right, and it's taking them time to adjust their system. They haven't done this system before, probably. So I'm giving them a little slack. I'm hoping in the coming weeks they learn from what happened with you, Darren. I'm just hoping. Right?
25 minutes to me is just unacceptable. Like, I would never have done this for five or ten minutes. I want to give
as many restaurants as much of the benefit of the doubt. We've had similar things, not specifically what happened with you, Darren, but we've called some local restaurants saying, hey, let's support the local restaurant.
Yep.
And you know, the signal's busy, you know, when you call, or they just haven't gotten it up and running yet. You know, I know they want to, but they probably just have not, you know, ever strategically planned for something like this, for this kind of system. And so, I mean, I hope it gets better. Because what happens is you keep going back to that well. If two or three times you try and you don't have a good experience, then you're going to go elsewhere to a place that is more efficient at getting the food out to you. So, you know, I want as many of these restaurants to get through this as quickly as possible. And, you know, this is how quickly you adapt and come up with a system that can work and be efficient for people. It's going to help your business, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Just 5-10 minutes past the time, not saying a word. Even 15, but 25 minutes, it's like, you know, you got to be better. Like, you have to. You can't be 25 minutes past your to-go time.
Sometimes they, you know, I've certainly made this mistake when they say, okay, what time are you going to be home? I'll be home at 6:20. When I'm saying that, but in my mind, I know I'm not going to be back at 6:20. I'm too hopeful. Like, they're probably better off saying, Darren, come over here at 6:35, right? Your food will be ready at 6:35. That way, at least you're showing up at 6:35. You're not showing up at 6:18. Right?
I don't have a problem telling me, Just tell me the right time. Don't tell me 6:18.
That's the mistake.
And come
they
out
probably
at 6:43. You know, I don't care if it's 6:43. Then tell me 6:43. You just stay at home until it's time to go up there. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Even though it would have been like, wow, we ordered like at 5:55. Like, wow, that's a long time. So right. Hopefully, as you said, they'll get better because obviously they're in that mode right now. That's all they can do. And so hopefully these restaurants will, I guess, get a little bit better at how they're having to go about this.
Yeah.
All right. Mine's a little bit lighter. And you guys may have seen this, but my cat Stanley is on the list.
He's a troublemaker.
Made the list.
Troublemaker.
He and I are spending a lot more time together these days. I think, like many pets, he would rather see the family, get out of the house for a while. You know, a lot of pets are probably going, Why don't they ever leave? What's the deal here? But you guys may have seen this. I'm putting Stanley on the list because now I think I'm on Nash's list because I filmed Stanley seconds after he appeared to have knocked over a vase, shattered it with lilacs in it. My wife, Erin, she loves lilacs, favorite smell. Stanley just knocked it right over yesterday, at least allegedly, right? I did not witness this. I went in and I videoed the aftermath. And, Stanley didn't admit to anything, but he looked like he was just standing over it, taunting me or admiring, what he had done. And Nash just gave me a tongue lashing on Twitter. And now I just have so many people, and Chase, I think you're one of them, that defended Stanley.
Yeah.
It made me out to be the bad guy trying to have a little fun at his expense and maybe chastise him a little bit. He's already knocked a couple of glasses over. If you leave a glass on the table, by the way, and he sees it, it's gone. It's shattered. It's all over the place. You might as well get the broom and the dustpan out because it's going down.
How old is Stanley?
Stanley is, 2, I think.
Okay, so he's still got some kitten in him.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And do you have other pets or is Stanley?
Yeah, we have two dogs.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But they do not interact with Stanley very well, so we got to keep them.
Nash is
outside.
Nash's response to you, because you put the video, Stanley starts the day by upending the lilacs and shattering the vase, cats don't care, man. Nash's response to you, were you in the room when it happened? Did you hear what the vase said to Stanley? Are you sure the vase didn't start it? Cats do care, Willie D, but we will not be disrespected in our own house, especially by a vase on a counter. Hashtag Team Stanley.
So now I've got a lot of Team Stanleys, and they give me a picture of the cat in their house and everything. And they're like, I defend. And then, I think they put things like, I have my cousin Vinny, Joe Pesci representing. Because it's circumstantial evidence. I didn't see him topple it over, but I have a pretty good idea.
Well, he's standing there admiring his work.
Oh, yeah.
But I've enjoyed Stanley making some appearances.
Oh, yeah. There'll probably be more before this is all over.
Oh, absolutely. All right, this is mine. I mentioned earlier that, I've only gotten out of the house a couple times to, go do something essential, go to the grocery store. And I have, since all this began, I think I've been in a grocery store 3 times maybe. And every time, I don't know if I've never noticed this before or if this is just panic setting in and a new thing, but people have their shopping carts and they are literally blocking an aisle. Like I've encountered some that have it turned sideways where you cannot walk through or it's right in the middle. And if of course I'm like, excuse me, got to get through. I've had a couple of people go, well, I'll be just a minute. It's like, are we that worried about running out of stuff that you have to block an aisle? Like, I don't understand. And again, I think I would have noticed something like this if it was going on a lot, but people, we all need to get our stuff. So, just chill. I understand it's a different time, but move over to the side. Just have some room. Don't block the aisle.
I find that this is the game we're playing in the grocery store a lot. And I think most people, they understand. In fact, that each time I go to the grocery store now, I see more and more people wearing masks. which is probably a good thing. Not like we talked about yesterday with Elliot Friedman. It's so you don't give out anything. And but the game you play, right? There's aisles, right? There's
sure.
the right hand side. Everybody's staying to the right. But when you're crisscrossing with somebody, you're trying to maintain as much space as possible, right? So you got to be good at steering your cart, right? And some people yeah. are better at turning it and angling it than others, especially if you got a bad wheel on one of your yeah. carts, a squeaky wheel. It could be tough. It gets jammed up. You know how that works, right? And then you got the person that leaves the cart and goes down the aisle to grab something, and you leave your cart sitting there like, wait, oh, yeah, that's now you got now you're jamming it up. You're right. jamming it up. We're trying to get the distancing here.
I know.
It's
we just
tough.
Gotta have we gotta have some etiquette. That's all I'm asking. Just some etiquette in the grocery store. We're all in this together. It's what we've been saying. We're all having to go through it. So let's just be kind.
I got one more in the grocery store, guys.
Okay.
This is one, and again, we're trying to minimize risk.
And where
as
are
much
you? 615-737-1025. Come on, we got nobody. Let's go.
Yeah. But we're trying to minimize risk in the grocery store, right? So don't be that guy that picks up an apple, looks at it, it's got some bruises, put it back down, right? We don't do that now. We don't.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
this is we just don't take any chances, right? Don't be that guy. Don't grab a loaf of bread and then put it back. Grab once. Grab, take, put it in the cart. It's yours.
You touch
True?
It, you buy it. Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
You touch it, you buy it.
It's like a card plate.
Minimize the
plate.
Touching. Let's minimize it. We got to be thinking about this stuff,
you
right?
Your
Everybody's
got
to go to the grocery store.
Yep.
Greg Anderson on Twitter just sent us this, and I think it's accurate. Dogs, oh, my God, you're here all day, and this is the best as I can. I can love you to see you and be with you and follow you. I'm so happy and excited because you are the greatest, and I love you being here so much. Cats, what the blank are you still doing here? I think that's accurate.
There's probably a lot of truth to that. Yeah. I think that's yeah. I'll just leave that alone. All right, we'll come back. 615-737-1025. This is where you need to participate if you want to win the tickets. I mean, nobody's mad out there. Nobody's got anything to put on a list. All right, we will do that on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN, 1025 The Game. Coming up at 12:45, it's time for you to participate. Sure, you get in there. 737-1025. Tell us who or what has made you mad, and guys. You know, while we were in the break, I've got a buddy of mine who sent me a meme. Yeah, a meme, and it says this: Police now have the power to split up groups. Maybe they should start with Nickelback. See, why do we always go to Nickelback? That's not even funny. I texted him, I said, that's not even funny. Don't send me this again. It's not funny.
I thought it was funny.
What is the deal with Nickelback?
Somebody tell me
the story. Give me the scoop so I can change my mind on how I feel. Tell me what is it?
Well,
just hasn't aged well.
They're Canadian, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Well, the reason I say that is it seems like it all started in Canada. Like in the hockey circles, they were for a while, you guys might remember this, they were performing at the NHL Awards banquet in Las Vegas,
uh-huh.
right? They were like the live act.
Yes.
And they brought them back a couple of years in a row. And I think that's where it started. I think they got overexposed. And even the Canadians turned on them. They're like, wait a minute, enough with the Nickelback. You know, let's move on. Now, you get Scotty Hart on the phone, he will defend Nickelback to the death.
Ooh.
He is a big fan.
Okay, we'll remember that the next time we get...
Yeah, we'll have to ask him about that.
Okay,
because
get him
on. I think they just got a little too big, and people were like, you know, enough. There's just too much. I have to take a break. Like, I think that, like Elijah said, they didn't age well, but like I think in another few years, they're on the sideline a little more. Then they can sneak back in. This has happened to some bands. Remember the Bee Gees?
Like who?
Well, the Bee Gees, when I was growing up,
wow, boy, you really
they were
went
huge.
Back.
They were huge in the 70s, right? Then disco flopped for a while, And then they had to go on the sideline for a while.
Yeah, but
they
things change. I mean, like Frankie right, Valli,
it comes
same
back
thing.
Around.
It changed.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah, well, that's
changed.
What I'm saying. It comes back around
but
after
give me
a, while.
A group like where people – like is it mad? Are they mad because they got really successful and they don't like – like there's something more to than the genre – like, you know, the style of music, the genre changed. And so a new decade comes in and everybody's going a different direction. But that's not the case here. Like it's just – there's just Nickelback hate, and it's been going on for a good while.
They're not my favorite.
It is somewhat unique, I think, with Nickelback, for sure. But I do think that it's a natural thing sometimes to say you kind of go from getting made fun of for a while to after a while you get a little more removed from the music. Then it comes back, and you're like, yeah, man. Yeah,
like, give
this
me
is
the
good.
Group that fits into this category where just they were popular, and they have a lot of hits and a lot of songs out there. And there's just a lot of hate for them. Like, who would fit into that category?
I feel like the Bee Gees went through it. I feel like the Bee Gees went through it.
But you said the music changed, that the style of music changed. Like, that doesn't count. Like I said, the Four Seasons went through it. And then Frankie Valli came through on the other side and kind of changed his sound. Not the way he sings, but the sound could – because the decades changed, right?
The great ones can adjust, yeah.
They're like fanny packs. They're exactly like fanny packs.
That's
there
a
is a
good
day.
One.
There is a day in which everyone wore them or everyone listened to them, and they go out of style for a while, and you're made fun of for either listening to it or listening to Nickelback or wearing a fanny pack. And then who knows? Like 20 years later, a bunch of kids are rocking it in spring break, and it's funny.
Huh?
I mean, they have a couple of songs that I like, and then there's some that I'm like, eh. But you know, I mean, it is what it is.
But for so much hate and so much, you wouldn't think they would be big and they would be popular, right?
Yeah, but they are.
They've sold out a lot of shows in, you know, in their career. So
they were just
you would
here,
think if there
they?
Was a lot of hate and then they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be playing at a place like Bridgestone Arena. They wouldn't be playing at big venues.
Yeah.
They'd be playing at City Winery. No disrespect to City Winery, but that's
a great
place to watch.
You're saying it's like Spinal
show.
Tap. Remember, this is Spinal Tap. They went from playing the big arenas, the big shows. Have you ever seen that? That I think that's that's a great one. They're playing at like a bar mitzvah or a
well,
a
Willie.
Town,
if you look
little,
at the documentary, of
it was
Quiet
like a
Riot.
Post 112, right?
Quiet Riot is playing at, you know, carnivals and stuff. I mean,
exactly.
You know, that's
there's been some movies about bands like that. That
I
does happen.
Quiet
sometimes.
Riot. Be all about
would
to buy it, right? Oh yeah.
Maybe there's they'll be at the fairgrounds.
Well, there's a commercial right now about Quiet Riot about the drummer that I forgot. It was sent, I think it's like a medicine commercial, but now he can play drums again or something. But I'm like, Quiet Riot,
huh? All right, I was just curious if what you know if we could come up with an example of a somebody like that. I don't know.
Three Doors Down, maybe? Not the hate's not as strong, but I mean.
No, Three Doors Down isn't anywhere near Nickelback, is it?
It's not near Nickelback because Nickelback is the peak of what we're talking about here. Because Nickelback has become more of a meme, whereas Three Doors Down, I guess, isn't as memeable. But I think that's an example. Matchbox 20, maybe?
Maybe it's me. Ooh, why do I like
Matchbox
I like
20
Matchbox
could be a good
20's
one.
Had to. Go on the side for a while. I think they'll come back someday and be popular. I think that's a good one.
Maybe. Rob Thomas's solo career kind of drowned out Matchbox 20. Yeah. It was better than that. So I think that kind of attributes it.
This is a good one. Somebody on the text line said Billy Ray Cyrus. I'd say that's accurate. He
bingo.
Yeah, but he's come back. He's made the comeback,
right.
though.
But didn't he just kind of fade away? I mean, Billy
because
Billy kept pumping out albums and nobody was buying them anymore. He just kind of
he did for a while.
Away,
I mean,
right?
he hit it with Achy Breaky Heart,
sure,
and you know was you know achieved superstardom, and then he had some other albums after that people
he
didn't
wasn't
really...
he never achieved Achy Breaky. I mean, he was more okay. Maybe I'm wrong with this. I don't want to get
big, man.
Yeah, but wasn't he more closer to a one-hit wonder category than a nickel? I mean, Nickelback's pumped out a lot of albums and a lot of hit songs. A lot.
Yeah. That's
did Billy
that's
Cyrus,
fair.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from his career, but he was more, to me, closer to one-hit wonder, right? I mean, that hit was huge, but Was he pumping out other hits, huge hits?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, he had a couple, you know, good songs, but that was obviously his biggest one and always will be.
Well, that was, yeah, I mean, that was huge.
But, you know, he kind of made a comeback recently with Old Town Road. You know, he sang on that.
Yep.
And obviously Miley, you know, has helped. But
Will Old Town Road be a one-hit wonder, you think?
Probably.
No, that guy's pretty big right now.
Yeah. Is he?
Oh,
but he's been doing other things,
He won a bunch of Grammys and stuff. So the question, just like a lot of bands, right, is how do you follow up the massive first album, right? He's had more than just the one. That song is going to be – you know, relic for years and years.
Sure.
But how do you follow it up?
But
can
he duplicate it with the next go around? That's what I want to see.
Remember Hootie and the Blowfish. Unbelievable first album, right? That spanned for a couple years, but it was hard to match that. So with each passing album after that, it was a little less and then a little less and a little less. That happens to a lot of bands.
Yeah, Hootie came in studio and did an hour with us once, and he said put his kids through college with some of those songs.
With the first album.
Yeah. And some of them, you know, staying up all night, kind of doing a little drinky-drinky, and next thing you know, he's pumped out a hit that put his kids through college.
That was such a great Darius Rucker.
All night. Yeah, Darius Rucker. We had some great stories.
And he has kind of redefined himself as a country artist, right? I mean,
he's back with Hootie and the Blowfish. They were touring.
It's come back around, right? Yeah. You get away from it for a while. You don't hear those songs for a while. Then all of a sudden they're fresh again, and you're like, yeah, man, here we go.
Again, you people are smart. The drummer for Quiet Riot had pancreatic cancer, and the ad is about getting screened for cancer.
Okay,
that's what it is.
Good job. Good job. Well, the Black Crowes are back together. Oh, wait a minute. No, not fully.
Somebody we know that was a part of the original is not.
Yeah, those brothers are a little bit crazy.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I want to read the book that Steve's
like, where's the documentary on them?
I'm sure there.
Someday.
Steve Gorman's a part of a book. So
he wrote a
book about it, yeah.
Right, but I mean, they've got to have a documentary about them, right?
Yeah. I'd watch.
Do we have Nate on the line?
Yeah.
Or did he hang up?
Right. Yeah, Nate's here.
Let's get Nate in. Nate, who's on your list?
Uber Eats customer service.
Okay.
You just made the list!
They are like any other customer service that doesn't have a phone number. They have these phrases that are predetermined. And so what's even better is that they are operating in a different way because of the coronavirus. So I think it was last week I ordered from Uber Eats, gave this guy a tip, and the tip didn't show up on the receipt when it processed. And so I was, you know, concerned because I wanted to help the gentleman out who brought me my food. And it went through, I emailed Uber Eats like 5 times and got 5 different people with 5 different responses. But thankfully, I actually talked to a human on the last one. I don't know if the first 4 were human. And the gentleman who ordered my food is on the list, because he didn't accept tips through the app, which I kind of thought was strange. I didn't know that they could do that. Hmm. So he kind of just lost out on some money there.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it. Be safe.
Thank you.
Billy on Twitter says, what about Creed? Scott Stapp, the lead singer, wasn't the whole thing about Creed that he was just a jerk and everybody hated him? And then he thought he was bigger than the group, and he kind of wanted to go out on his own. And speaking of flops, he flopped on his own. So that was more about the lead singer thinking he was
I would put that in the same category, because Creed, you know, came on the scene and hit it big, but now in – but, I mean, here's
You're saying there was a lot of hate when they were big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I remember when the song Higher came out, like, I used to kind of make fun of them and I don't really know why, but I just did. Because see, there's a certain category of rock music that people, you know, refer to as blank rock. You can fill in the blank there. And I think that, like, Nickelback or Creed might, to some people, fall in that category, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I think actually, now that I think about it, in the height of their career, I think Billy's on to something. I think there was a lot of, Creed was huge the first go-around. They were huge, and there was a lot of hate with Creed. So yeah. That's probably a pretty good example.
Yeah, and Elijah brought up Three Doors Down. I don't know if I agree with that. Three Doors Down.
I can't sign up for that one. I don't buy that one. I don't think they're in that category.
Oh, it's accurate. You're in denial.
Well, maybe I am.
I got a text from somebody that said Creed sucks. Dude wanted to be Eddie Vedder.
That's true. Scott Stapp, he was the problem. He was the issue. I mean, he thought he was. Everything I've ever read or heard is that he was just a total blank bag to be around. You know, he thought he was the stuff. And yeah. Of course he went, basically they broke up, or he went away to do his own thing, and he flopped tremendously. They tried to come back. It was never the same. They just couldn't recreate it. That's actually a pretty good one, though.
That is a good one.
I think he's right. That they, in their heyday, even the first go-around, I definitely think there was a lot of haters, even though they were really popular.
Mike says Billy Squire.
Really? I don't see that.
Yeah.
Billy Squire's underrated in my book.
Yeah.
Billy Squire
is underrated, right? He's got game.
I think he's underrated.
I think he's underrated big time. You know, I can get into some Billy Squire.
I've never really thought about this, but and that was Gover that texted me on Creed, that it's true. Scott Stapp did try to sound a lot like Eddie Vedder. That's never really hit me until he pointed it out, but it's true.
Yeah, he didn't have any success. Nate's saying, what about Green Day?
Oh, I don't know about that. Green Day is pretty popular. I think Green Day ticked people off because they went political.
Yeah, exactly. You took the words out of my, just the kind of the political views. And
they got the gig at the NHL All-Star Game this year, though. Did
yeah.
you see that?
Well, they've come back. They're promoting a big tour. They're supposed to be doing a baseball stadium tour this entire summer, which Chase and I have tickets to in August down in Atlanta, and who knows whether it's going to happen or not.
Yeah, they're playing with Weezer and Fall Out Boy.
Yep.
So. But yeah, Green Day, and look, I for you know, there are some songs on the album American Idiot, which is what pretty much started their, you know, people not liking them because of their political views. I mean, there are some hit songs off of that album, but that's what hurt them.
I think it was the political views, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the Dixie Chicks.
Billy was very outspoken.
Yep.
And he still is. Here's a good one. Skyler on Twitter says, what about the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah.
I can see that.
They all
definitely
split up and try to go their own way.
I think that's a pretty good
success.
One. Yeah, but I also think there were a lot of people that were definitely hating on them when they were at the height of their popularity. Just saying, I think that's a pretty good.
I don't know. I wasn't one of them. I like them.
Yeah, I like them.
And has it aged badly, though? I guess that's another question to ask with the Black
Eyed
Peas. I can still listen to some Black Eyed Peas. Yeah. Maybe
solid.
Not the same way I did when I was 9, but I can still do it.
Got a text. Scott Stapp had a lot of drug and alcohol issues, which may have caused a lot of the problems. Just saying. That's true.
Yeah.
Some truth to that.
Who was I'm drawing blanks. Wait a minute. Fergie, right? Fergie was Black Eyed Peas. Didn't she do something on her own and she got crushed? It sounded horrible, and people were just.
Well, she performed at the Super Bowl, right?
Is that
she had an album?
She sang the national anthem
before
the All-Star game 1 year, and
it
was horrendous.
What was the one that she
didn't
got
go well,
crushed on?
That's the one.
The All-Star game.
She had a poor version, I think, of the anthem, and she went on Dan Patrick's show the next day and said, I was awful.
Yeah, okay.
She had some big hits, huge hits as a solo performer, though. Huge.
I will say this about any musical artist, and Vince Gill, I can't remember if it was with you guys or Greg and Joe, but Vince Gill came on one time and said, singing the national anthem
it's with us.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That it can make or break your career, because if you screw it up or it's bad, it's going to haunt you forever.
Well, he said, in fact, I remember him telling the story that he fears doing that more than anything.
Yeah.
Singing the national anthem.
He was singing the anthem for in Atlanta during the World Series.
Yeah. Yes.
And I love the story because he says that, you know, you forget the words. Like, you get so nervous that you forget the words. And so I was looking in the front row, and there was a guy that was singing it along with me. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got this guy that I can watch. Well, but halfway through, the guy takes a bite of his hot dog. And he's not
that was
singing
a great
anymore.
Story. I love that story. And he's like, oh, man, now
what do I do?
I got to find another guy lip syncing. That.
And I mean, a couple of questions come to mind. Number one, can you not wait till the end of the national anthem to eat your hot dog?
Yeah, come on. You right. don't take a bite of the hot dog during the anthem.
Come on. That's good. That is good stuff. All right, we will come back and finish up the hour with Stu Grimson, the Grim Reaper in the On Deck Circle, next on Darren Donick and Chase. Elijah, good timing. Darren Donick and Chase.
I do love that riff.
Stu Grimson on the line with us. Let's find out what he thinks of Nickelback. Stu, how you doing?
This will be a good answer here. This will give you a very good perspective here, I believe.
Oh, don't set the bar too high, Willie. Don't set the bar too high.
We were talking, Stu, about all the hate Nickelback has received over the years. And I'm just curious, where do you stand on Nickelback?
You know, I honestly don't have a good feel for their catalog. I mean, I guess I get kind of generally what genre, but they've just never really registered on my radar.
Well, give us your catalog.
That sounds like a complete.
Yeah, well, what's your catalog?
I am so classic rock heavy that Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, Dylan, Springsteen. A lot of the newer artists I'm listening to, I don't know, maybe you've heard of some, maybe not, but I'm getting a little more eclectic in my later years. And, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, I'm a huge fan. I've seen them several times. Quaker City Nighthawks. Have you guys heard Tyler Childers? He's from Kentucky.
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, man, he is really
good.
Oh,
my gosh. This boy is strong. Just that voice. He's got this gravelly kind of whiskey-soaked voice, and he sings about heartache, desperation, and it's just, I mean, it's really, really cool, kind of haunting at the same time. I'm a big fan. And he's opening for Sturgill Simpson assuming it goes off. Supposed to be in May, I think, at Bridgestone.
We had tickets. We were giving away tickets to that, were we not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that if it happens.
So the first group you named, you don't put Nickelback in the same group with that first group that you named, no?
Nathaniel Radcliffe, no.
No.
No. Not Zeppelin, none of those. You're not,
that's
the same group.
That's a different genre. Sorry, I know that's a bit of a cop-out. Just not Nickelback. You're not going to get much from me on that.
Okay. All right. Since we're all going through this together, we've been watching your videos, and times are different. We're spending a lot of time at home. It's also a time for us to, pick up books and read them. Do you have any suggestions for our listeners for a good book to read?
Wow. Well, actually, it just occurs to me that maybe I do. It's a little number that came out last October. It's oddly titled The Grim Reaper, The Life and Career of a Reluctant Warrior.
Huh, sounds interesting.
You can pick it up on Amazon, and I believe the author's on the call with us.
Oh.
Wow. You know what? This is not scripted or rehearsed. This is a live show.
No,
that was impressive.
Not at all. And I tell you what, Willie, for your listening pleasure, your ear candy, the Grim Reaper is now available on Audible, and I'll read it to you personally.
Wow! So you voiced it over? Did you really do that? Did you narrate the book?
I really did that. And I tell you what, awesome. I enjoyed the process more than I thought I would. It was really interesting. Worked with a little production studio here in town called Spotland Studios that does a lot of voiceover work. But me and my good buddy Dave, the engineer slash owner, we knocked it out.
Yeah, I think that's probably cool. More up my alley or Chase's alley than Willie. Yeah. Willie went to Vanderbilt, so he can actually read. So probably pictures and you reading it to us is more up our alley. I went to Kentucky, Stu, okay? I mean, you know, I'm better off you just reading it to me.
All right, Chase and Darren. Right. Uncle Stewie's going to read you a bedtime story.
Hey, if Dolly can do it, Stu can do it.
There you go.
You've got a cool event tonight. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Yeah, it's Kick. I'm really excited about it. You guys know because you've been to a few of them in the past, but we're getting the old band back together, man. so this is the Bumps, Bruises, and Bedtime Story. It's a concept that kind of grew out of the Zanies Comedy Club. The Dorfman brothers down there came up with this idea years ago. And it was really just to get several of us hockey players together. It works well if we're talking about guys that kind of played that heavyweight enforcer type role in a different era of the game, because the stories that kind of come with that territory are really stranger than fiction, and they're really interesting and pretty humorous at the same time. But we have noticed over time that folks really get a charge out of hearing these stories. So from time to time, we will dust this concept off. We've gone to the frozen tundra in Canada to do this. We'll do it frequently at Zanies for, you know, all kinds of different not-for-profit fundraiser-type activities. But we just thought tonight would make good sense, or at some point during this outbreak, this contagion, because, hey, we're all starved for hockey. We're all starved for entertainment. And this is an opportunity right from the comfort of your own home. Stop by Facebook Live. I believe, if you want to look Zanies Nashville, that's probably the easiest way to get to it. But if you Google it, you'll find it. Bumps, Bruises, Bedtime Stories. Myself, Kelly Chase, Jim McKenzie, and Andrew Dorfman will be hosting us. But we three ex-enforcer types will be telling about some of the stories we've been involved in over the course of our careers, and it's a lot of good, clean, mostly clean, good fun.
Mostly clean. I like that. Well said. Stu Grimson is with us, talking a little hockey, a little life, some things that he's up to here. So, Stu, I have to give Jen, your wife, a lot of credit. These videos that you guys are putting together, I just want to know how the Loud Salad has evolved in your house here since the video was making the rounds here. I did get a kick out of that. I have to give her credit. She has had some brilliant performances alongside of you on these videos you're putting out.
Well, you know, it's funny, Willie. It never occurred to me before, this coronavirus swept through the globe. But apparently I have a lot of quirks, personal habits, and idiosyncrasies that kind of grate on other people's nerves. And Jen has been so gracious to document some of these quirks and habits. And who knew that Loud Salad was a thing? My daily routine of having a salad, which I just finished, actually. I scarfed down the last couple of forkfuls before you guys rang me up. But I just finished a Loud Salad. And, the Loud Salad is no less loud than when Jen first started broadcasting about it. But it's been a lot of fun, and we're fun, like everybody. We're finding a way to spend the time productively and spending the time trying to carve out a little personal space for each other, because we're spending more time in the house together than we have in the past. In fact, the dog looks at us about twice a day going, don't you guys have a plane to catch? Like, don't you have to be somewhere?
Yes.
It's getting a little tired for the dog.
Well, Stu, another thing that happens a lot, as you know, is, you know, the classic games are coming back through the rounds, probably some that you played in, right? Classic clips come through. One that comes up a lot is a game that you and I did several years ago when the Predators were playing the Jets, and Wes McCauley sent everybody for both teams into the penalty box, and they got overcrowded.
Oh, yeah.
And the line,
oh, yeah.
Your line, I think, is always your line is going to live with it, that'll be matched up with that moment, is when you said Wes McCauley has just given everybody on the ice a round of minors. But that clip, I don't know if you've seen that or been tagged on that, but I've had several people just trying to get through and say, you know, here are the clips I've been watching today, and that one has come up a few times.
Yeah, it's funny, you know. I mean, as regretful as this all is, you know, I'm like you, Willie. I tend to see the silver lining. And just being given the opportunity to kind of, one, catch up on stuff that, you know, you've desperately wanted to for the longest time. But two, just the ability to kind of focus on other things when your attention is directed away from your main focus. So, you know, going back through memories like that, it kind of leaves you thinking it's a practice we should really all try to make room for, carve out some space for, but we seem to have a hard time doing when things are up and running as normally. I talked to my old buddy Ralph Strangis. You remember Ralph? He was
sure.
The play-by-play guy for Dallas for years and years. He and his oldest daughter are kind of holed up out in the desert in California. She happened to be visiting him when this all set in. They spent 2 hours going through old scrapbooks of his career. You know, in a quiet moment last night at the house, he said it was, they shared the best time together. And he said, you know, he really brought that point home to me. And I think it's the one you're making. It's kind of fun to be able to just direct your attention to these other areas and appreciate the memory, you know?
We're talking to Stu Grimson, former Nashville Predator, now at the NHL Network. And Stu, as I listen to you talk about your event tonight, with some of these enforcers, obviously the game has changed, you know, so much, and the role that you played isn't as prevalent anymore. What are your thoughts on that? As somebody that made a living of playing a long time, of kind of being that tough, big-bodied guy, that you don't see that as much anymore.
Yeah, I think my thoughts, Chase, are really, you know, I guess I don't really have serious concerns about the way the game has changed. And what I mean when I say that is, I don't think the NHL will ever take the steps to legislate fighting right out of the game, because I don't think they need to. It kind of exists in a somewhat marginal way now. There's always that threat of a fight kind of hanging in the ether, and oftentimes it does happen. And I like that, because I think that the one thing that fighting and the really the physical nature of our game does is it separates us from the other sports. We're quite identifiable in that way. We're fond of saying hockey is fast, it's fierce, and it's just a whole lot of fun to watch. And I think fighting, you know, is at least part of that element. And here's the other thing. You guys can attest to this because you've seen it many, many times down at the Bridgestone Arena. When a guy like me, or a guy that plays a physical role for his team, for the Preds, I would say it's probably somebody like an Austin Watson right now. If the Preds are trailing, if the Preds are flat, and a guy like Austin goes out and gets into a scrape with somebody on the other side, 75% of the time, the overwhelming majority of the time, there will be a surge of some kind. Usually it's the Preds leading it, but the game can turn in that moment. And that, for me, I think it's one of the more, you know, it might take somewhat of an untrained eye to appreciate it, and our Preds fans really do. But those are exciting moments in the game. You know, the bench feels it, the coaching staff feels it, the energy in the building changes when that happens, and I like that part of it still remains in our game today. I really do.
Stool, this very big show for our team. We fight now.
That's a very good impression of my old buddy, Christoph Oliwa, who I locked horns with many times over the course of my career. But he didn't know a lot of English, but he knew how to say, it's time to fight.
I think that that might be one of my favorite stories that you have ever told. And I think you've told it on the air before of that, you know, the first time you fought, you were trying to pick one with him and slash or whatever. And he has the conversation with you of, if you need to fight, you just say, we fight now.
Oh, yeah. He's a comical guy. Not a lot of guys come out of Poland off the streets of Warsaw, Poland to play NHL hockey. But it just made me smile every time it happened. But we probably locked horns 4, 5, or 6 times over the course of our career. And Chase, every time it happened, he would lean in on the draw. We'd be shoulder to shoulder. And sure enough, there it would come. Stu, my team must win this game. We fight now.
I love that one.
There are so few moments in a game where you can actually, during the action, it just causes you to stop and smile. Christoph's invitation to fight would always made me stop and smile.
That's outstanding. Hey, thanks for doing this. Stop sneezing at the dinner table and have fun tonight with your event.
Okay, guys. Have a great show. Thanks for having me on.
Bumps, bruises, and bedtime stories. We've attended this event at Zany's in the past. Of course, they will not be holding a live event. It'll be live in streaming. And it is going to be Stu Grimson, Jim McKenzie, and Kelly Chase. A lot of fun. That starts at 7 o'clock tonight. And you can watch on YouTube, Facebook. They're asking for donations with GoFundMe and Venmo. So it should be a great night of storytelling tonight, starting at 7 o'clock. When we come back, fourth and final hour, we kick off with trivia. We do that next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.